Mike Thompson is ready to go with a fishing forecast for your weekend along our causeway, northern Mobile Bay area. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, Alan. How about you?
Oh, we're doing good, man. How's things looking for our weekend?
Well, Alan, we're set up for a pretty hard blow out of the north, and that's going to drop the water levels quite low. However, you can get in the rivers, the Raft River, the Spanish River, the Tensaw River, and, you know, make the drift with the north wind pushing you, and you may be able to pluck a few speckled trout and redfish out using soft plastics on the bottom. They've been doing real well in both of, all three of the places. You need that falling tide, you need the wind pushing you, and with the wind blowing pretty hard, it might be better if you take your trolling motor and slow your drift a little bit so you don't go too fast. But it's kind of on the redfish, and it's kind of like you either catch the undersized below 16 or some of the really larger redfish, and you never know which one it's going to be, but most of the time they run into schools, so a lot of small fish or a lot of big fish.
When the wind blows out of the north and the water conditions are low, what about the ditches along the causeway and on the, you know, the edges of the river? Do the redfish still go up in there in that shallow water this time?
It will be so shallow with the winds forecast at 20 to 25 miles an hour that there's not going to be much water in those ditches. Now, if you want to take advantage of this hard wind and the low tide, I suggest that you go in some of the creeks off the rivers, and then you try to find any wood structure that all of a sudden is above the water line because the water's so low. You can use live shrimp, which Shirley's has had some live shrimp. And if you can't find live shrimp, you can use live shiners, and you can do well on the bass and the redfish. Those redfish have moved up in the creeks along that structure with the bass, so you can catch both of them right now. And that'll keep going until it gets really, really muddy, and it's not muddy yet.
Well, what about speckled trout? Is it? I know it's kind of windy to be drift fishing, but what would you?
Well, that's going to be your best bet if you're going to try to fish, you know, the big rivers over on the causeway. Now, if you want to try to catch some speckled trout in a tighter place like Dog River or Fowl River, you can hide from the wind. They've been doing real well on hard plugs. Rapala X wraps have been good. The Miradines and the Miradine XLs have all been good. And, again, it'll be a mixed bag. You'll catch a lot of small fish in one spot, and you'll catch some quality fish in the next. So you just have to move around.
What about Theodore Industrial Canal? What are you hearing out of there?
Still catching a few white trout out there by the Navy port, but with the hard winds, it might be difficult to get out that way.
Yeah.
Up in the canal itself, they're still catching speckled trout on the drop-offs. You know, they're using root beer sparkle beetles. They're using chartreuse, curly tail grubs, and some people are using the gulp scented baits.
How is the shrimp supply along the causeway?
Well, it's hit or miss. Shirley's has been doing a real good job with bringing in some shrimp. I haven't talked to the Scott brothers lately, but they were still producing shrimp as of last weekend. So I tried to get them on the phone today. I couldn't get a hold of them, but they may be able to sneak out and get some, but I would say Shirley's or C&S Bait would be your two best bets to find live shrimp for the weekend.
You know, that water project, they're putting this huge pipeline all along the causeway down up under the water, and it's got our public launches pretty much blocked off for a while.
It does, and it's a mess, and, you know, the contractor that originally started the project evidently was in over their heads, and they couldn't finish the project. And then when you bring another contractor in, it's always a delay. But hopefully they'll get that mess cleaned up. It's really hurting the duck hunters because that's where they like to launch those small boats. It was protected from the wind. And so it's really a tough deal for them. However, on the duck hunting front, they're still killing quite a few divers. They're killing some redheads. They're killing some bluebills, the occasional bull canvasback. There's quite a few divers hanging around the Delta right now. And, you know, a lot of people are getting wall-hanging birds, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about the drake redheads and the big bull canvasbacks.
That sounds good. Great report, Mike. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Okay, Alan.
All right, let's move on to Captain Bobby Abrascato, who's got our inshore fishing report along Dolphin Island and surrounding areas. How you doing, Captain?
Good afternoon, Big Al. How are you?
We're doing good, man. It's going to be blowing this weekend, I hear.
Yeah, well, what else is new, man? It's this time of year. I'll tell you, you know, we have an Arctic blast last weekend and fishing in T-shirt and jeans this, you know, this week and back breaking out the Arctic gear again by the weekend, man. Who knows? But it's that time of year, and you know, you just got to make some adjustments. I mean, the water temperature doesn't really change that much. You know, it's in the upper 40s, low 50s, you know, and that's, you know, you're into the wintertime deal then, you know. So my last few trips have really been, I've been up, and I don't want to get in too much into Wayne and Mike's report, but I've been mainly up in the Delta. It's where I've been having my best success, and it's been all kind of a jig deal. I went my first trips after that blast, you know, stayed down on the deep sides of the river channels, and man, it was there was a ton of fish, you know, and it was all a grub deal. And then the last few days, I kind of moved back into the tidal rivers. Some of them are starting to clear up since we've had that, you know, that little bit of rain, and kind of gone back to the mirror lure and slick deal. And so, you know, it's just that kind of time, you know, where we're getting these weather changes like this, you can just make some adjustments and do some different things and still catch fish, you know. Mm-hmm. Started out early this morning down at the island and caught some real nice redfish over some shell. And we were really kind of targeting trout, but we came up on some fish that were up on some shell and really were coming out of the water with their backs out of the water feeding. It was just hard to resist that. So we started switched over to grubs and started throwing over there and caught those, you know. So still a lot of opportunities out there to catch some fish. The water at the lower end of the bay is unbelievably clear. It's just it is just beautiful down at the lower end of the bay, real salty, you know. If you catch some if you catch, you know, a decent weather day, you know, it'd be a good time to get out and fish some of that close in structure, you know, close in, because I'm sure you can catch a variety of species out there, you know, anything from, you know, white trout and ground mullet and sheephead to snapper and, gosh, who knows what else, man. You drop down a fresh piece of bait, there's no telling what you're going to catch when you do that.
Well, let's talk about, you mentioned it was a grub bite up in the Delta. How do you work that grub, and what colors do you like?
Well, it doesn't matter color-wise as long as it's chartreuse or root beer.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's about the only two colors I carry. And usually for me, I lean towards the chartreuse a little bit, particularly up there, because even what we call clear water to me is still a little bit stirred up. So I kind of lean towards the chartreuse. But if that doesn't work, it's going to be root beer. And then also I fish, particularly this time of year, you know, where I know those fish are going to be down in the deepest part, I fish nothing but 3/8 ounce jig heads,
yeah,
with fluorocarbon line, just to make sure that bait's staying down on the bottom, because that's where their fish are going to be. Some of the fish I caught Saturday were actually spitting up mud, and that told me that during that freeze, they were actually laying on the very bottom, you know, and as they breeze with their mouths open, and they were actually probably ingesting a little bit of mud. So that's how close to the bottom you're going to have to be if you're going to catch them when it gets real cold like this.
And do you want to slide that jig along, or do you bounce it?
I bounce it a little bit. I kind of I let it hit the bottom. I'm a line watcher. I'm not good enough to be able to. Some of the guys can feel the bottom. I actually have to watch my line. But I let the line just go limp, and then I hop it a couple times, probably pulling it maybe a foot, maybe 2 feet up off the bottom, and then let it settle back down again, you know, till the line goes slack, and then start that whole process over again. And, you know, sometimes, like right now, everything was on or very near the bottom, but sometimes when you start to get a little bit of a warm-up, you'll notice that, you know, as you're pulling it up, or when you go to start jigging it again, you'll have a fish on there, which tells me that sometimes the fish are hitting it on the way down, which tells me that they're suspending a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. So you kind of start to get a feel for what's going on with it. But, you know, the last couple times that I've caught them up there in the last couple days, it's all been right on the bottom.
Inshore fishermen will be dealing with the wind this weekend. Do you have any suggestions on how to get out of that wind?
Well, if you're going to do that kind of fishing, you're going to have to find some kind of way to find protected waters. You know, get up against a big tree bank or something like that. There's a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, all over the bay. All of the river systems have you know, trees and protection, and you got to do that, man. You know, it's always great to just be able to go wherever you like to be able to go wherever you want, but when you're trying to feel a bite or mm-hmm. present a bait naturally, you've got to do something to get out of that wind. And when it starts getting up in the 15 knot plus range, you're just not very effective fishing trying to feel a bite in that kind of wind. I have to get somewhere where I'm protected and try and cast as much as I can with the wind so the line stays fairly tight and you mm-hmm. can feel that bite. Now, there's guys that are a lot better at it than I am that can you know, feel it better than I can. I gotta play the wind and have everything in my favor for me to feel the bite, man.
Well, the shallow creek red fishing, sight fishing for them is pretty much out of the question this weekend, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. But I can tell you this, the fish are there. You know, if we would have had the right conditions for it today, this morning, where it was so cloudy, you couldn't have been able to see them if they weren't exposed to themselves. So if you had a bright, sunny day, dude, and the wind laid down a little mm-hmm. bit, I can promise you those fish are there. If you can find some banks, especially near creek mouths, those fish have to have a little bit of deeper water to get into when we get these low water events.
Yeah.
But if you can find some shell near some creek mouths, I can promise you there's some redfish down at the lower end of the bay in the sound, particularly along the northern end of the sound, where we got a lot of grass and shell down through Portersville and Grand.
Yeah.
And on down into that Mississippi Grand Bay Marsh system.
All right, Bobby. Thanks for the report, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Y'all stay warm this weekend.
All right. You know, I'm always interested in crappie fishing, and Miller's Ferry is one of those places everybody just has to visit. Joe Dunn's with us right now to give us a report on the conditions up there this weekend. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, what's the conditions going to be like as far as crappie, first of all?
Okay. This weekend, the water's, you know, it's up and running just a little bit stained. It's going to be that way for a little while. So some of the bigger creeks are going to be real muddy, but you're still going to have certain flues like alligator, the marina, false through, and probably in the back of Buzzard Reef. And water will be clear in those places.
Mm.
And right now, the fish are still, you know, probably still going to catch more fish out in the river. You may have to get out in that swift, muddy, stained up stuff and do a little bottom bouncing up close to the top. Any kind of eddy water, something's got to break. Just remember, things are going to be real slow. Some maybe have done moved up in the mouth, and any of the fish that are up in those places like that, you know, you may have to crawl a little bit deeper than normal,
mm-hmm.
depending on water temperature is still down pretty cold right now, so it's going to be a little while before maybe they move up a little bit higher. In the, you know, all the bait fish and everything's close to the bottom, so they're going to be hugging down there around that pool, you know, picking up some shad and stuff. But it's going to be a slow bite for right now, but things start warming back up.
Well, we did just come off of 6 days of freezing weather, and I'm sure that dropped the water temperature, and now we're going to have some cold weather coming back in on us. So the crappie are going a little deeper, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything's getting deeper right now. And they're going to follow the bait fish wherever they're at, and everything's going to still be down a good bit deeper right now. I've even heard guys, you know, that's been trying to do a little catfish and have to get out there and tie extra line under their cast net.
Hmm.
Where they can reach down there further to get some shad.
How about that?
The regular line on it, they need to get down a little bit deeper. So it's that time of year right now.
Mm-hmm. And the bass, how about those?
Well, it's basically the same. Your bass this time of year, usually they're going to stage back up right before where they will move as soon as it warms up. So
mm-hmm.
They're still going to be, you know, in that 8 and 10 foot water off the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Some will move up and if it warms up during the day. But if they are up there around that structure, you're going to have to be fishing real slow.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically that big and jig type of weather right now. That's what you're going to have to do, get real slow with that big and jig.
I got you, Joe. Appreciate the report, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We've got Mr. Darryl Bell sitting in with us. Joe is out for the day, tending to a new baby boy. So I wanted to talk with you, Darryl, a little bit about deer hunting. First of all, we're looking at some unusual, you know, conditions this weekend. I understand it's going to be cold again. It's going to be windy. What do you look for? Do you have a list? What do you look for the conditions to go after whitetail?
So I do have a list, and you know, no matter what the weather conditions are going to be for the weekend, I always, you know, kind of fall back to my checklist to to kind of predict the deer movement. And I really have four different things I look at, and it starts with the temperature. That's the number one thing. And, you know, big fluctuations, big drops, more than anything else is what we look for there. This weekend we're going from, I believe where I'm hunting at in Clay County, Friday it's supposed to be 55 or 58 at daylight, and it's supposed to be 40 by the time the sun goes down. So that's you're talking a 15 to 20 degree drop in that, you know, during the day, that is definitely going to put deer on their feet. And that drop is going to come with a spike in pressure, which is number two really on my checklist that I look at. And then with that, what makes Friday afternoon even better is it's supposed to rain up until 1 o'clock Friday. So you're talking about 15, 20 degree temperature drop, a stop in rain. When the rain stops, that pressure is going to skyrocket. So that's kind of the stuff we look at. And then the moon phase there too, depending, you know, if it's coming into a full moon, coming off of a full moon, predicting what time I think they're going to move. But when you have the temperature drop, the rain stopping, the pressure spiking, I don't care what the moon's, you know, doing. It's kind of the bottom of my list when all three of those come together.
What about Saturday and Sunday? When would you choose to hunt during those times?
So Saturday, I think all day is going to be good Saturday, strictly because it's the first day after a weather front that's coming through, like today and tomorrow. The pressure's supposed to start rising, I believe, like I said, 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, and it spikes out about 10 to 12, I believe, on Saturday. So it's a constant rise in that pressure. That big change is going to be good. The only thing that I'm not really excited about on Saturday is the wind. We're still supposed to have 12 to 15 mile an hour winds. I still believe the deer are going to move. I think it's going to be the rut's kicking off up there, so there's no telling when it could happen. I'd probably sit all day Saturday, and then Sunday, there's not really a big fluctuation in temperature or pressure, but the wind does drop to about 5 to 6 miles an hour. So that is a big change in wind speed. So I think that'll put them on their feet as well.
Well, down here in Alabama, the rut is just beginning to show signs of activity. If you're going to sit all day like you do, I mean, you're a serious bow hunter. My hat's off to you. But what kind of tips would you give somebody planning to sit in this tree all day?
The number one thing is confidence. You have to have confidence in your spot. I've sat through some of those sits where I had zero confidence, hadn't seen any deer, and it's hard to stay there all day. Yeah. You got to be in the right spot. I mean, I wouldn't sit a food plot all day long, and I wouldn't sit in a travel corridor necessarily coming off of a food plot all day long. It had to be the right conditions, you know, somewhere between bedding and food, where you're going to catch those bucks cruising, you know, looking for does, you know, winding downwind sides or upwind sides of those different.
Yeah, I want to get Jay Graddick in on this conversation. He's on the phone now, and he owns Skinner's Wild Game Processing. He keeps up with the deer in South Alabama and what's showing up at the processing. And he's also, like you, Daryl, an avid, serious bow hunter. How you doing, Jay?
Man, I'm doing great. Everybody doing well on your end?
We're doing good. Waiting on the weekend to get here, and we've got Daryl Bell sitting in with us today, and you guys ought to be best friends. You're all about deer hunting, so we're talking about some tactics. But before we get into that, what are you seeing coming in this week, man?
Well, so far, we had a couple of days where the last couple of days have been kind of slow. Prior to that, the last weekend and the first of the week, we had some really nice bucks brought in.
I got you. Well, I guess the reports from the hunters that you talk to, they're starting to see they're pawing the ground, they're rubbing the trees, rutting activities beginning.
Absolutely. We're seeing more and more bucks. They're you know, they got signs that they're really getting ready. They've tanked up on a lot of food, and they're beginning to move more in the daylight. You should be starting to pick up some more daylight pictures on your trail cam, maybe not in the food plots, but if you got any in the woods, I think they are moving a little better. A
couple of guys, Daryl told me they saw some bucks chasing does, not real hard, but they were young bucks. Do you find that the young bucks start before the older bucks do?
Oh, absolutely. You're gonna get your 1.5 and your 2.5-year-old bucks are gonna pester those does. They're just getting frisky. I call them the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, the old guys will show up and pretty much take care of business.
Yeah.
And that's when it really pays off. But right now, you know, I think I told you, Alan, my buddies out in Kansas, they call me every year and said, man, the rut's starting early. And I said, what did you see? I said, well, it's all a buck chasing doe. What was it? Oh, it was a 6-point, weighed about 170 pounds. Well, that's a that's a 1.5-year-old deer in Kansas.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
You can just about set your watch. It's going to happen the same time every year within a couple of days.
Now, if you're sitting on a food plot with a few does out in the plot and they start behaving differently, what kind of behavior do you guys look for when you're watching does to let you know that a buck's nearby?
Well, sometimes, Alan, what I've seen is if you got a few does out there and all of a sudden they get a little nervous, they start looking in the woods, and then you'll have that one doe sometime that'll actually make more effort to move to the other side to plot or try to slip out, mm-hmm. then that's a good indicator that. And also, too, you want to look at your small buck. Mm. If you've got young bucks out there, the worst thing you have is a bunch of spikes hanging around. Mm. In my experience, you've got a bunch of spikes, you're in the wrong place.
Okay.
But if you've got some younger bucks, some 4-point, 6-point, year and a half, 2-year-old bucks, and all of a sudden they get nervous, mm-hmm. and they move to the other end of the plot, get ready.
Get ready. Okay. Well, a friend of mine was in that situation the other day and said that does all of a sudden started walking back and forth and kind of jumping around, and he knew something was fixing to happen. And sure enough, he caught a glimpse of a nice buck in the edge of the woods but didn't get a shot at it, you know.
Yeah. And you know, you got to be ready for that. I've seen a lot of times where these bucks will skirt the downwind side of a food plot and walk the whole perimeter of that thing and never come in it, and or if they do, they never stop and eat anything. So don't sit there thinking that he's going to stop and start eating like the rest of the deer.
Hmm.
He'll cruise that downwind side. If he don't smell what he likes, he's going to move on.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, those buck travel corridors along those checking points like that, it's a good place to set up if you're a bow hunter.
Absolutely. If you can figure out, all you got to do is connect the dots. You may have, down there in the river swamp, we had about 6 food plots, and they were kind of, they had good travel corridors between each one. And if you just connect the dots, how's he going to go from this one to that one? The path he's going to use, because, you know, as far as the bedding area goes this time of year, unless the doe that he's with is bedding down, that's out the window. That deer, when the time gets right, he's on his feet, and he's covering some ground. And what you want to do is you want to be in, if you want to know he's going from point A to point B, is all you need to know. Get on the downwind side of that, and you should be in business.
Yep, and I think, too, it really depends, you know, the time of the day as well, like we were talking about all day sits. I'm not one to sit, you know, necessarily a food plot all day. I think the bucks are going to be where the does are at. And like you said, if you can find the travel corridors in between the bedding and the food, you know, somewhere right there in the middle, depending on, of course, how far apart they are and the type
right.
of terrain you're hunting. Those are where your all day sits are made. I mean, that's the area where you're going to catch a buck traveling between, you know, going down on the downwind side of a doe bedding area and checking a food plot on the other side of the ridge in our situation. That's really the places we concentrate on, especially bow hunting during the rut.
Absolutely. You know, each food plot probably has a group of resident does and yearlings that visit that plot on a frequent basis. They, mm-hmm. Those plots can be, you know, a quarter of a mile apart. They can be 300 yards apart or farther. And so basically what you got is you've got it's like a bar. The guy's going bar hopping. He's going mm-hmm. from one area to the next, and he'll go around until he finds what he's looking for.
All right, Jay, thanks a lot, buddy. Great conversation there. And y'all go see Jay at Skinner's Wild Game Processing.